Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 52 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the biz witchy creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic. And, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And, as always, I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And I also want to mention that you don't have to listen to these shows on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. You can actually go over to iTunes and subscribe if, like me, you like to listen to podcasts on whatever, your mobile device. I listen to them on, like, an old school iPod. I love podcasts. I have so many favorites that I listen to, and I just load up my iPod and take it with me when I'm exercising or doing the dishes or whatever. So if you're that kind of person, you are not limited. Go over to iTunes and you can subscribe there. And I also love it when people leave me 5 stars and a nice little review. And some of you have done that. So thank you so much for doing that for me. I hope that you all enjoyed February's theme, the People I Love theme with Don Champagne, Sonia Francis, Sherry Bro Kreitner, and Kelly Ann Maddox. I definitely did. It was interesting opening up the show to new perspectives because I always say I don't know everything, and, you know, it's just me here talking week after week, so I thought it'd be a fun little treat for everyone if I brought some guests onto the show. And I would love your feedback on that. I'd love to know. Email me at joannadevoe@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook under Joanna DeVoe. And let me know which you prefer. Do you like it when I'm doing the shows just like this, talking myself? Do you like it when I have guests on? Would you like a mix? I think, based on the feedback I've gotten so far, that I'm going to keep doing the show myself and bring a guest on maybe once a month or so. So I'm thinking, I haven't really firmly decided yet, but I'm thinking that mixing it up a little bit is a good thing. And I had so much fun doing it. I hope you enjoyed it too. And then this month, in honor of Kick-Ass Witch's 2-year anniversary, yay, 2 years, which is tomorrow, March 5th is my 2-year anniversary, I'm also doing a theme. So maybe I'm into the theme thing. Maybe I'll have to think of a good theme for April. So February is People I Love, Kick-Ass Witch's Anniversary, March is for Biz Witch, and what should April be about? I don't know. What should I talk about in April? This month, though, I'm going to be doing this Biz Witch theme primarily in my videos, but I'm also going to touch on it here, too. And that is by request. I am so surprised that the Biz Witch series that I very randomly contribute to is actually the most popular page on my website, and it's the thing I get the most requests about, the most emails and questions about, and people wanting help with their websites and their businesses. So it was not my intention when I started that, but I try to stay open to what you all want, so this can be a two-way street here. And so I'm going to be doing that, more Biz Witch. I love talking about all things Biz Witchery, by the way. And if you don't know what Biz Witchery is, it's just online business, running your own business, entrepreneurship. Biz Witch is just a cute way of saying that. And I like to think of myself as, I heard a term that really stuck with me, and I can't remember if it was Amy Porterfield or Natalie Sisson who I heard say it first, but look up both those women. They are both awesome biz witches. You could definitely learn something from them. But one of them, at some point in my podcast listening adventures in the last couple of months, used a term called leading learner. And I was like, oh, I am a leading learner. I love to learn. You know, I'm like a crazy book nerd, and I don't just read. I always apply whatever it is that sticks out to me or really resonates. I'll take that and put it into action to see how it works. And then I love to turn around and present that to you all. So, yeah, I don't know everything about running a business online. I have learned by failing mostly, which is what today's episode is all about. But I like that term, leading learner. So if you want to learn from me, please know that I am always going to be learning as I go along. I will always turn around and share that with you. But again, this is just my perspective, one perspective, and I may be a few steps higher up on the ladder than you right now. I may not be, but if I am, and you want somebody to kind of like shine a flashlight for you if you're feeling kind of in the dark, I'm going to be offering some coaching around this topic later this month, which again is another thing that I did not set out to do, but I've received a lot of requests. So if you are wanting to go deeper with this whole BizWitch theme, that's something to look forward to. I'll be talking about that later in the month. But for now, I hope that you will take advantage of all the free content that I will be posting, especially on YouTube. And if you're not subscribed to me there, it is super easy to find me at youtube.com/JoannaDeVoe. And I wanted to kick things off with this month of BizWitchery talking about failure, because like I said, I have failed my way, definitely not to the top, but I have failed my way somewhere to the middle. I have failed my way towards success, and this has been a theme in my life, period. It's been a theme in my life. This isn't just in the last 2 years, and I started my first online business in 2003, so I've been failing for over a decade now. I feel like talking about failure from the get-go is a great way to take the piss out of some of the fears that we have around putting ourselves out there publicly. And if you're going to start an online business, that is what you're doing, especially if you do it right, because you need to be showing your personality. People have so many options these days with the various, I mean, businesses that they can go into. The businesses I'm particularly interested in helping are witchy businesses, people that are into new agey things, personal development, and how many coaches are there in the world? How many tarot readers? You know, what's going to differentiate you from everyone else that's doing the exact same thing that you're doing, Reiki healing or whatever it is? And I can tell you right now, that's going to be you. People are going to invest in your business. They're going to turn to you for guidance because they like you, because they respond to you and your personality. So fear of failure can be a big deal when you confront the idea of actually putting yourself into the world in YouTube videos or on a podcast or just creating a really personal blog. But I feel that that is necessary to creating a successful business nowadays online. You have got to show people who you really are if you want people to resonate with you. And I love this quote by Winston Churchill that I put on Facebook with a little announcement of today's show. He said, "Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." And that is me. I shall stumble from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. And I do have my pride. It's not that I don't, like, hesitate, but I continue to move forward, and I hope that you will do the same. I think that you have to be willing to make a clown of yourself sometimes. It makes me think of one of the very first things we learn to do in this life, just to walk, to simply walk, something that we all just take for granted now. We do it without thinking. But babies, they don't start off walking. They, you know, first they like scoot around on their tummies, and then they learn how to crawl. And then, you know, they might stand up eventually, pulling themselves up with a piece of furniture. And then that's, you know, the phase of making a clown of yourself, because they're like trying to walk with like the crazy rubber chicken legs and they're falling down a lot. My son was a cruiser. He actually stood, pulled himself up on furniture pretty early, but then he proceeded to cruise furniture. He did not take his first look ma, no hands step until he was like 15 months old, because he would cruise, like, he could get to wherever he wanted to, but he had to have his hands like on the furniture, on the walls, like he would just go around the perimeter of a room to get to where he wanted to go, presumably because he was afraid. Afraid of falling, but he eventually let go, and I'm proud to say he can walk just fine today, 20 years later. Anyway, my point is that failure is a natural part of success. Everybody does it, everyone, and the most successful people in life and business have certainly failed on more than one occasion. And I, for example, because you know I'm so successful. No, but I'm getting there, and I'm definitely getting there. And I just failed big time, and it was something that I almost didn't try because I was afraid to fail. I almost didn't put myself out there in this way because I was afraid to fail. I was mostly afraid of what it would look like from the outside looking in, which I knew was total BS, and so I did it anyway, and that was publicly applying for a scholarship to B-School again. I did that 2 years ago, around 2 years ago, when Kick-Ass Witch was new, because I love Marie Forleo. I think she is the biz witchiest biz witch out there. We all look up to her. The leaders of biz witchery look up to her. Like, she is the queen. And so for me, getting to go to B-School is, it feels like some sort of rite of passage that I want to go through. It's so timely and of the moment. It's this big, iconic thing. But I can't afford, you know, the $2,000, or her payment plans are like over $500 a month, and I can't afford that either right now. So I really wanted to go, and I decided to try again. And the way that you apply for a scholarship is to make a 90-second video explaining why you want a scholarship. And I was feeling pretty pumped and like I was going to get this, and I so didn't. And I totally bombed again the second time. I mean, keep in mind, so many people apply for this. I want to say almost 2,000 people applied this year, and they did give out a lot. They gave out like 46. I might be messing the numbers up because it's been a while since I looked. But anyway, I was totally disappointed. You know, a part of me felt like, Marie doesn't love me. They just don't get what I'm doing. But I learned something. And, you know, when I didn't get in the first time, I did a blog post called What I Learned from Not Winning a Marie Forleo, whatever, B-School Scholarship, something like that. And I talked about what I learned. And I think that that's the key to failing and succeeding, you know, despite that, is to always, fine, you failed. You didn't get what you wanted. So what did you learn? Like, what nugget of wisdom can you take away from this? And for me, that was a couple things, actually, but primarily the first thing that stands out in my mind is you. I found my tribe, and you are all the best, most inspiring, supportive group of people. I was so moved by the comments that people left on that YouTube video. You know, you're awesome, Joanna. Marie would be crazy not to let you into B-School. I know you can do it, and I know how bad you want this. Like, some of those comments actually got me choked up. Some of you actually took the time to write me emails of encouragement, and it just, I felt really lifted up by, like, my tribe of people. It actually makes me want to get choked up right now. And that was such a huge gift, because I realized, like, it doesn't matter if I go to B-School. I know a lot of the information that I know they present in B-School already, and I'm always learning. And most importantly, I have found my tribe. I have found a beautiful group of people that enjoys what I do. I enjoy what they do. It's a two-way street. And so that's what I learned from failing again to win the scholarship to get into B-School. And if you are one of the people that win, one more power to you, and I hope you make the most of it. Thomas Edison, I got another quote for you. He said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. And the reason I'm bringing this quote up is because A, it kicks ass, and B, this is a lesson that I have proven to myself in action many times, actually. But today I'm going to tell you a story that I'm not super crazy about telling because it kind of embarrasses me, but that was kind of the thing with the Marie Forleo video too. It's like I have, you know, my ego, I have my pride, I try to look as cool as I can even though I know I'm a total dork. I try not to look like a dork as much as possible. But I also know that being vulnerable and being honest is important to keeping, you know, a cool relationship with your people. And so in the name of keeping it real, in the name of leading by example and being a leading learner, I am willing to make a fool of myself for you. So this story starts back in the fifth grade in Ms. Jakowski's class after school. I think it was actually maybe during summer school. I can't remember. And I don't remember why I was present in Ms. Jakowski's class during this off-school time, but I remember in the fifth grade that she allowed me and some of the other girls in fifth grade to sit on the floor and watch her cheerleader squad. She somehow was the head of this cheerleading squad of these high school girls that called themselves the Unicorns, and they competed in competitions and stuff. And these are like, to me, because I was only in fifth grade, they were like the coolest older girls, like super fashionable and beautiful, and sitting there on the carpet watching them like play their music and practice their cheers, I was completely fascinated, totally mesmerized, and convinced that I was going to be a cheerleader one day. I wanted to be a cheerleader like so bad. To me, it was like the key of like popularity and coolness and being like beautiful and sexy. It was everything because of the Unicorns. They may have even been called the Purple Unicorns, which is very 80s. But in fifth grade, there was no opportunity for me to be a cheerleader, nor was there in sixth or seventh grade. But I kept that dream alive. I would like practice in my backyard with my best friend, Katie White, or my cousin, April, or my sister, or the neighbor down the street, Kim, whoever would practice with me. I was constantly practicing, and I had been a dancer forever. I was in gymnastics, so I knew I had what it took. But the problem was I was a really nervous kid, and if you put me up in front of people, there was a likelihood that I would have, like, you know, a twitchy kind of meltdown where your face twitches and you feel like you're going to pass out. And so in seventh grade, at the end of seventh grade, our junior high was just seventh and eighth, the seventh graders had an opportunity to audition to be a cheerleader in the eighth grade the following year. So I practiced and pumped myself up. I'm going to make a long story short because this is only a 30-minute show, but I made it to the finals, and a bunch of girls tried out because I went to a very big school, and they only picked like 7 girls, I think. So I made it to the finals, and I was so excited, and then when they lined us up to perform our little routine, we were in the library, and I was on the end of the line behind a bookcase, and instead of standing up for myself and going, "Hello, I'm behind a bookcase. I don't think the judges can see me," I did the entire routine behind the bookcase where nobody could see me. And I did not make cheerleader. And I was heartbroken. I was so upset. And the next opportunity to try to be cheerleader wasn't for like 2 years away. So I had to go through eighth grade, get to high school, go through my entire freshman year not being a cheerleader and looking at the beautiful cheerleaders doing their thing and being all cool. And then finally, at the end of ninth grade, I got the opportunity again to try out. In my freshman year in high school, there were 2,000 kids in my freshman class. It's a huge class. And I would say at least 150 girls tried out for a pretty small squad, maybe like 8 to 10. But I knew I was an amazing dancer and gymnast, and I totally belonged on the cheerleading squad. And again, I did not make cheerleader. I totally did not. I made it to the finals again. I knew I nailed my routine. And then a PE teacher who was one of the judges, I was devastated. I was so upset, and I guess in an effort to comfort me, she told me, which she probably should not have done now that I'm looking back, but she told me that I actually did make this squad, that they mixed up my number with another girl's, but that it was too late to do anything about it because the girl was already excited and it was already a done deal, but that I should try out next year. And I was so pissed off. And I had to go that whole year watching that girl in my spot, you know, like totally indignant about it, that when I came around to try out the next year, I practiced my buns off. I had my friends over. We practiced in the backyard, and I was so serious. Remember, I am Joanna Peabody, so I take this stuff, like, to the limit. I'm so nerdy about it. And we practiced, and we practiced, and we practiced. And, yes, finally, the third time was a charm, and I made the cheerleading squad. I even ended up doing most of our choreography. I choreographed a cool routine that we won first prize at, you know, summer camp that year for cheerleaders, and it was a big success, and that was actually one of the most important life lessons that I have taken with me. And it sounds so silly and goofy, but, you know, to kids, these things are really important. And then as for the title of this episode, Impressive Failure, Go Big or Go Home, that was actually, now I'm jumping around, you know, in time here, but that was actually inspired by a concept that I learned back in my screenwriting days when I was writing screenplays. The term impressive failure was coined by the screenwriter Terry Rossio for an awesome group of columns that he and his partner wrote for their Word Player website, which I highly recommend checking out if you want to be a writer of any kind, not just screenwriters. There's so much good stuff there at wordplayer.com. And it's really old. I'm impressed that they've kept it up this long and grateful. It's an awesome resource. Anyway, impressive failure is a brilliant tool for applying to a story, especially action adventure, in terms of getting the audience to root for the hero and just to keep things interesting. And I think the way that he gives Indiana Jones in that article, he gives Indiana Jones as an example, perfectly demonstrates what impressive failure is. And so I am just going to read that little snippet to you here. I'm assuming you have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you haven't, please go rent Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's one of the best screenplays of all time. Great movie. Anyway, this is what he has to say. Consider Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones is perhaps the greatest action hero in the history of the movies, and in his debut film, he flat out fails from beginning to end. He loses the golden idol, Marion is kidnapped, and he's unable to rescue her. He finds the Ark, but it is immediately taken away. His bluff to destroy the Ark is called, and he gets recaptured. He can't even look upon the Ark when it is opened, and the government ends up with his long sought after and much suffered for prize. This guy's an action hero? Yep, because he fails so damn impressively from start to finish. Indy fails so well, in fact, the audience is impressed as hell and hardly aware of the fact that he's failing. The defeats are just setbacks that create more opportunities for heroism. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I also think it's a great analogy for life and business. Don't you want to be the hero of your own story? I sure as hell do. I not only want to be the hero of my own story, my own journey, I want to inspire as many people as I possibly can to be the hero of their own journeys, to not accept being a bit player in someone else's life, and to get busy creating the kick-ass life of their dreams, which is what Kick-Ass Witch is all about. If you want to succeed at anything, whether it is starting your own online business, asking for a raise, or winning a bodybuilding competition, you have got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone and to accept failure as a possible outcome. You may fail if you try, but you are not a failure if you are able to learn something from your defeat. Pick yourself up and try again. And it is the secret, I swear, to every great success story. And I challenge you to Google the words failure quotes to see all the great names who have contributed thoughtful sound bites to this principle. I also, for this episode, I did a blog post. If you go to my blog at www.joannadevoe.com, I did a blog, The Witch List, 10 Kick-Ass Quotes that demonstrate the magic of failure, something like that. But I picked 10 of my favorite quotes, and there are so many. It was hard to actually pick 10, but 10 of my favorite quotes about failure and big names, big J.K. Rowling and Thomas Edison, some awesome people. And they all say the same thing, you know, you got to fail to succeed. And before I go, I will leave you with one of my favorites, which is by the one and only Oprah Winfrey. She says, "I don't believe in failure. It is not failure if you enjoyed the process." And really, that's another great point. Play to play. Even play to win, but don't let not winning take the fun out of playing. You know what I'm saying? The journey is the destination. Keep calm and carry on and all that good shit. And if you are thinking about starting your own biz online, or you already have your own biz and you want to take it to the next level, I invite you to stay tuned to all things Kick-Ass Witch this month, especially the videos, because every Friday in March I will be posting a new Biz Witch video for your viewing pleasure. I hope it is an educational, fun experience and that you have a super inspiring, seriously kick-ass month and year. Much love to you. Peace.